So notice what he's doing here. He's trying to prove the gospel, but in that process, you kind of have to verify and prove the scriptures, right? So that's what he's getting at here. That's mm-hmm. what he's really giving us an argument for why the scriptures are authoritative. And so, of course, the objection is, well, what about biblical criticism, right? What about, the theory that, Jesus maybe not have said, hasn't said all, didn't say all the things that he said, and that the Pentateuch was written by several other people and put together, and all that kind of stuff. You know, what about biblical criticism? Well, he says, for those who are not yet willing to confess Christ on the basis of the arguments above, that is, the Bible is its kind of own self-verification, he says, I do have more to add, more about Scripture's own rationale for its teaching. But before we get to that, he must answer this issue with regard to this objection to the argument that Scripture is indeed authority. And so he wants to spend at least a few minutes here on the idea of biblical criticism.
Right. Right. And this is something if you get into debates, this is the majority of scholars say, or a majority of people who study the writings of Paul only attribute these letters to him. And so this is where that type of higher criticism comes into play. Not all of it's best, but not all of it's good either. We need to take it with everything, with actually looking at it, not just using it as a kind of proof text preholder of, well, I can be confident in this because a majority of scholars have said this.
Right. And so he talks about things like the Old Testament, for instance. This is on page 133. He says the Old Testament was carved up into various sources and traditions, and the first five books were ascribed to various unknown authors such as J.E.D., P, and sometimes J1, J2, and so on. This was called the documentary hypothesis. The history of Israel was reconstructed, he says. Genesis 1 through 11 was relegated to the category of myth, legend, or sage. The stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were also regarded as unhistorical. And so some scholars have even denied that there have been an exodus, right, of God's people from the land of Egypt. So once you start, down this road, you can, question everything. You can question everything. Is what he suggested.
This is the Peter Enns approach. Peter Enns just says, well, nothing in the Bible is true except for that which leads to salvation. Okay. Right. So like global flood? Nope. Can't do that. How about the walls of Jericho? Oh, well, we know from pottery shards that the walls of Jericho never fell. Okay, well, what about the need for salvation because of fallen sin? Nope, can't do those either. Well, okay, so what? Well, maybe parts of the resurrection and the cross. That's as much as I can give you. So that's kind of the Peter Enns approach of this higher criticism. So that all that's left with you is about three pages of scripture that you have to defend, and even then you can probably turn it over to somebody else. Well, Frame doesn't have a high view of this. He says it's a continual embarrassment to Bible-believing Christians that many professional Bible scholars and theologians who are, in one respect, in the best position to defend the gospel are themselves sharply critical of the historic Christianity. This was not always the case, and he says until around 1650, most, including the most famous theological scholars, were staunch defenders of biblical supernaturalism. Then the supposed age of reason came in, where traditions were jettisoned, human autonomy was lauded, and theories honored as much as their newness as for their truth occurred. Yeah. And so that's kind of where you start having the critique, and it was mostly just, well, I don't believe this because I don't want to, or but let's all start from scratch from everything, and if you can prove it to me, then I'll believe it. Well, right. Okay, but that's not how anything works.
So what we have here then is the kind of the beginning of the age of reason, or the Enlightenment period, that kind of stuff, where man now becomes the authority and everything has to bow to our authority, even the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, we get rid of all kinds of tradition because human authority is what's superior. Right. And so there's nothing greater and higher than us is what he's getting at. And so rationalists, he says, presuppose, notice, without proof that supernatural events, for instance, never occur, and that the human mind functions best independently of any purported divine revelation. Right? We're superior to divine revelation. We should be able to function independently of it. In fact, we should be able to function better independently of divine revelation. And so he says these denials were made not on the basis of any Bible study, right? But before they even begin to look at scriptures, right? So miracles, whatever, can't happen. Well, let's, you know, you haven't even looked at the evidence yet. You haven't even looked at the documents yet. And so these presuppositions, and he says this word again, right, were intended to govern the very method of Bible study itself. They were in no way influenced by the actual teaching of scriptures. And so what's his beef here, his issue? His issue is that we do, they did the same thing. They went into this with presuppositions. They began to look at the documents with presuppositions. And as a result, they kind of said, our presuppositions rule. Presupposition is that reason is superior to revelation. And therefore, we can come up with all of these types of things. And so they had their presuppositions. And that's the problem. No real evidence, he's suggesting here. But we just assume these things. And then based on our assumption, this when we go into the scriptures, this is what we find.
Right. Right. This is the Jesus seminar. So I put a pebble for black, white and red. Definitely didn't happen. Maybe happen, but not the way that we think it is or this happen. And what you're left with is there were some people in Jerusalem at the time of year zero where some things might have happened. So, you know, you have Jesus. He didn't walk on the water. He walked by the water. That's a better rendering of this. And so when Peter's amazed at Jesus walking by the water, then that clearly makes sense of why he gets out of the boat and runs to him and starts sinking. Well, except maybe not. And so, so you have this convince me it's true from my point of view, where the internal critique is not at all attributed here. And the naturalist the rationalist point of view is just assumed from the get-go without needing to present its evidence. Well, why can't we do that with just scripture then?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this meant
that's good for the goose, right? It's good for the game.
Exactly.